Tuesday night, hour one of the program tonight. Yes, we are waiting now. The polls closed about 7 minutes ago in Wisconsin. So the networks, when 0.1% is reporting, they will call the race for somebody, right? Why wait for votes to be counted? With seven people, votes tallied on seven ballots, NBC declares so-and-so the winner. Crazy. Crazy. This hour is being sponsored by Joe Bacon. Thank you, Joe. His message, Mike, some people think that the transit of Venus is going on. In reality, it's not Venus. It's Scroopert Murdoch's corrupted soul floating over the sun. Jesus. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for the sponsorship. All right. While we were all... Okay, not me. And not you, I know. But while the media were just holding their collective breaths today, like, oh, 6.5 hours till the polls close, 5 hours till the polls close, 4.5, oh, too close to call, 3, 2, an hour, oh, we have 15 minutes left, 14, While all that was going on, Senate Republicans today blocked a bill that would have ensured women are paid the same amount as their male counterparts. You see, the Senate, there's new rules in the Senate. You have to, anything that you want to pass, you have to have 60 votes. And the Senate failed to secure the 60 votes needed to advance the Paycheck Fairness Act, which would have required employers to demonstrate that any salary differences between men and women doing the same work are not gender related. Right? I mean, somebody who drives a forklift in a warehouse, whether it's man or woman, would get their $16 an hour. If only men were driving the forklift, now it's a forklift, the fork does all the lifting. If the men are making $16 an hour and they hire a couple women for $13 an hour, oops, wait a minute. Now, anyone with the IQ of a dead possum would realize that that was a gender discrimination issue. Because when you drive a forklift, right? I mean, tell me I'm wrong, but when you drive a forklift, you don't do anything but drive the damn thing, right? The bill also would have prohibited employers from retaliating against employees who share information with their coworkers. Do you understand that? Because as it stands right now, if a couple of co-workers get to, how much are you making? Oh, I'm making $18.50. What are you making? I'm only making $16.50. What? You're making $16.50? Yeah. You're making $18.50? Yeah. Right now, that's grounds for dismissal. This bill would have prevented that dismissal. But no. And the bill also would have required the Labor Department to increase its outreach to employers to help them eliminate pay disparities. The final vote was 52-47 in favor. 52-47 in favor. Now, this was just to advance the bill onto the floor where people could talk about it. It wasn't to pass a bill. This is what these goddamn Republicans do. They will not allow the Senate to talk about it. And Harry Reid is such a wimp, such a rotten goddamn leader, that he allows this to happen. These Democrats. The final vote was 52-47 with all Republicans opposing the bill. Now, that included Senators Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire, Susan Collins of Maine, Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Texas, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Olympia Snow of Maine. They all said no. Now, of course, they already get equal pay, don't they? They're senators. There's no problem with their equal pay, is there? The war on women is real. And you have one, two, three, four, five. How many women? One, two, three, four, five Republican women in the Senate who are so Stockholm syndromed by the Republican hostage takers that even though they get equal pay, they're going to vote against equal pay for other women. Anybody want to explain that to me? Huh? Anybody got an idea about that? Wow. Mr. Obama called it, his words, incredibly disappointing that Republicans would block a bill relating to equal pay for women. This is part of what he said. Not that it matters, but here you are. Quote, this afternoon, Senate Republicans refused to allow an up or down vote on the Paycheck Fairness Act, a common sense piece of legislation that would strengthen the Equal Pay Act and give women more tools to fight pay discrimination. It is incredibly disappointing, the president went on, that in this make or break moment for the middle class, Senate Republicans put partisan politics, partisan politics ahead of American women and their families. What? Oh, that's right. Now, Senator Barbara Mikulski, Democrat of Maryland, the author of the bill, said after the vote, quote, it's a very sad day here in the U.S. Senate, but it's a Saturday every day when a paycheck comes and women continue to make less than men. We're sorry that this vote occurred strictly on party lines. Yeah, but you're not surprised, are you, Senator Mikulski? But these five Republican senators, these five women, I mean, you people get an equal pay. I mean, you didn't show up at the Senate and they docked your pay 23% because you're female. Oh, well. Now, Republicans opposed the bill for different reasons. You got to hear some of these reasons. Scott Brown, Republican of Massachusetts, said last night that he wouldn't support it because he thinks it may burden small businesses. Equal pay. Equal pay would burden small businesses. Oh, my God. Marco Polo of Florida told reporters today that he didn't think the bill would do the job, and he said, it reads more to me like some sort of welfare plan for trial lawyers. Ooh, those old trial lawyers again, huh? There they are, hiding in the weeds. There's those trial lawyers just waiting to just leap out. Leap out and just mess everything up. And Susan Collins, she told reporters that, quote, we already have on the books the Equal Pay Act, the Civil Rights Act, and the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which I did support. I believe that they provide adequate protections. I think this bill would result in excessive litigation that would impose a real burden, particularly on small businesses. Well, she got Scott Brown and Marco Polo's reasons all in one sentence. Collins continued, in other cases, it may be due to personal decisions that women make to leave the workforce to raise children for a number of years and then return to the workforce, for example. I don't think you can assume discrimination. If that's not gobbledygoddamn gook, what is? How about you, Miss Collins? Supposing you would have been a senator for 3 years and then left to have a baby or whatever and came back after 5 years, you would not be docked on your pay. Senator, you'd get the same damn thing you got the moment you left the Senate to go raise a family. I don't know. This is more examples of Republican psychosis, but we're all going to go along with it, aren't we? Huh? We're never going to put millions of people in the street. Nah, why bother? She was tough.
lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. 1% of the vote is in. Scott Walker has 54%. And his opponent has 46%. And MSNBC that has a camera in Walker's headquarters recorded a cheer went up when the numbers were posted. Barrett, 46%. Walker, 54%. Yeah! Remember about a week ago, I think it was about a week ago, I told you about this guy, Brigadier General Neil Talley. He was with the chief of U.S. Special Forces in South Korea. He's been in that position since October 2010. And he said, remember I reported about a week ago, he said that U.S. and South Korean special forces have been parachuting into North Korea on espionage missions. And, of course, U.S. military immediately went nuts and, And I remember the last thing I said, well, look for this guy to be gone. Yeah, guess what? An American general has been replaced after reports quoted him as saying what we talked about a week or so ago. So Brigadier General Talley is gone. No surprise here. None whatsoever. News of Talley's departure, according to the Associated Press, came a day after North Korea's military warned that troops have aimed artillery at the specific coordinates of South Korean media groups as Pyongyang threatened a, quote, merciless sacred war over perceived insults. We will stomp you. We will beat you to death with our empty rice bowls. We will puncture your liver with chopsticks. We will scream for the glorious leader something, although we don't have a whole lot of energy left to scream. So the comments came from the general staff of the Korean People's Army. And it contained an unusually specific mention of the longitude and latitude of the locations of seven media outlets. North Korea said it had targeted those agencies and would attack if Seoul, if the South Koreans don't apologize for orchestrating, quote, a vicious smear campaign, end quote, against the festivals in the North's capital. Those are the festivals about, you know, Kim Jong crazy dying and then Kim Jong-un standing there picking boogers and eating them while the military around him tries to figure out a way to cover their asses from that hideous failed launch. I mean, what a place this place is, huh? In South Korea, the Unification Ministry, which handles relations with the North, issued a statement calling what the North Koreans said, quote, a grave provocation. Well, what do we have here? A grave provocation and a merciless sacred war and a vicious smear campaign. See, the North Koreans need to do something, need to do it quickly because of that horrible embarrassment, that total loss of face following the North Korean rocket launch in April that observers around the world said it was a cover for a test of long-range missile technology. So, according to North Korea's statement, quote, officers and men of the Army Corps, divisions and regiments on the front, and strategic rocket forces in the depth of the country are loudly calling for the issue of order to mete out punishment. And everybody along the DMZ, they all stopped and they cupped their ear and leaned over the barbed wire. Yes. There it is. I hear it. Listen. Oh, my God. They're calling for punishment to be meted out. Wow. About 20,000 children across North Korea are celebrating the 66th anniversary of the Korean Children's Union. During the six-day festival that began Sunday, children planned to tour the North Korean capital, participate in political and cultural events, and visit a zoo and visit restaurants. What is this? A restaurant. What's the difference between this and a zoo? The animals here are dead. Can I eat them? No, no! Don't touch! There's always a moron, someone to hate. A corporate tie, a wig and a date, just a dog. Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Joe Bacon. Thank you, Joe. Joe's message. Mike, some people think that the transit of Venus is going on. In reality, it's not Venus. It's Rupert Murdoch's corrupted soul floating over the sun. You think? Thanks, Joe. So anyway, that's enough on Brigadier General Neil Talley. But one thing you do not do in the military, of course, is reveal that your boys are, you know, once again doing stuff that, you know, arguably are like kind of, maybe, you know, could be, possibly, against international law, but worse than that, highly provocative. Highly provocative. Of course, we've had special forces in Iran and China since forever, so why should North Korea be any different, right? Anyway, General Brigadier General Talley has decided to take early retirement. Fare thee well, General. From Prairie 2, you can herd donkeys with a big enough stick. In an interview with PBS NewsHour, Bill Clinton completely walked back his comments about Obama criticizing Bain as being inappropriate. He said today, quote, about making Bain an issue being wrong, not necessarily, it depends on the facts of the case. That's what I tried to say in the CNN interview. The equity business can be good if you, well, I got friends who buy failing companies and try to turn them around, and he's turned a bunch of them around, but not all of them, so sometimes he tried and failed. The effort was honorable. That's a good thing. Yeah, right. He said that guy was Romney in the CNN interview, but now you are to think he means some other private equity pirate. But you notice that Slick Willie didn't actually say that. Clinton also tore down Romney's boast that as president, Romney would immediately declare China a currency manipulator and get tough with them, unlike Obama. Clinton suggested this would collapse the world economy, and that it would be far better to apply tariffs on a case-by-case basis the way Obama has been doing. Clinton also laid out the stupidity of the Republican austerity plan and the need for stimulus from the government in times like these. He did this in perfectly sensible and simple, or simple and sensible language. Maynard Keynes and FDR, Menard, oh, pray too. Mr. Keynes and FDR are smiling down from heaven. Why the sudden change of heart? Well, last week, Clinton was telling reporters that as a private citizen, he had the privilege of saying whatever he wants. Speculation was running wild that Clinton was deliberately sabotaging Obama, as he had developed a real hatred for Obama during the campaign. This would be a believable scenario, since the things Clinton was saying a couple of days ago weren't believable. They were just billionaire-generated talking points. One small problem popped up for Citizen Clinton. He's not a private citizen. As a condition of Hillary's employment as Secretary of State, Bill had to sign a 50-page contract with Obama. This was done precisely because Clinton could be expected to pull this kind of crap when the opportunity arose. Clinton apparently isn't much of a lawyer if he didn't read it. Obama must have sent some boys down from the Chicago campaign office to read it to him. Well, Bill's back on the team now. He's quite good at communicating when he's properly motivated. Yes, indeedy. PrairieNumeral2.com. Indeed. We have a couple of reports here for you. First, the production of work shoes is up 47%. The production of mortar armaments is up 38%. The Ministry of Truth is reporting that our forces have been victorious in Indonesia. And also, Abu Yahya Alibi, the number two man in Al-Qaeda and a longtime public face of the terror network, is dead. Again. Once again, we have struck with the power and beauty of our military and have killed, for the 17th time, the number two man in Al-Qaeda. Spokesperson Jay Carney, standing in front of a huge poster of our beloved big brother, said, quote, "His death is part of the degradation taking place in core Al-Qaeda in the last several years. And we will continue to kill the number two man over and over again to prove the glory of the military prowess of our great nation." How many times can you kill the number two man? How many times can you do that?
About as many times as you can always be at war with Eurasia.
Well, no, we're Eurasia.
East Asia.
We're not. We're Amer. No, what are we? It doesn't matter.
I'm making an Orwell reference.
I see. Really? According to the press secretary of the United States, Alibi played a critical role in the group's planning against the West, providing oversight of the external operations efforts. A U.S. official who spoke on condition of anonymity said, quote, "There is no one who even comes close in terms of replacing the expertise Al-Qaeda has just lost." Alibi was second in command behind Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri, who took the helm after bin Laden's death. Well, The strike yesterday was the third such deadly attack in as many days, and the 21st suspected U.S. drone strike in Pakistan this year. At least six missiles were fired at a militant compound near the town of Mir Ali in the North Waziristan region near the Afghanistan border. Have I mentioned that shoe production has gone up 49%? And the production of manhole covers has exceeded all expectations yet again. Al-Qaeda's leadership has been so thinned by the U.S. drone campaign in Pakistan that these men were the only two real leaders of the organization left, according to CNN security analyst Peter Bergen. We also have news that corn production is way up. Over 70 trillion quadrillion bushels are being reported. An Islamic scholar and high-ranking member of the group, Alibi frequently appeared in internet videos. He gave many videotaped speeches praising al-Qaeda leaders, urging resistance and trying to recruit new members. Well, he's dead now. He's just totally dead. He's totally dead until we kill him again. Hold on a minute. Just hold on a minute. Hey, Satan! Yo, hell! Yes, Malloy. First of all, how's Andy doing? You're kidding. Really? He organized what? Oh, my God. Hey, listen. Al-Qaeda's number two man is on his way down. Yeah. Oh, hell, I don't know. Let me see here. Al-Libby. Yeah, it does sound a little bit like Andy, doesn't it? Yeah, well, you know. Everything all right down there? Hotter than hell, I'll bet, huh? I'd love to say that. All right, talk to you later. Okay.
Boom, 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 bitty boom.
Well, that's certainly good news. I don't know what's better, the increase in shoe production or the killing yet again of the number two man in Al-Qaeda. Thank goodness. Some good news at Crooks and Liars, posted by Carol Lee. In a groundbreaking ruling, the First Circuit Court of Appeals panel struck down Defense of Marriage Act, ruling that the federal government does not have the authority to deny same-sex couples benefits if they are legally married in a state. Now, what makes this ruling different from others is the composition of the panel that issued this ruling. There are two conservative judges there. The author of the opinion is a well-respected Bush appointee, Judge Michael Bowden. He was appointed to the bench by President George Herbert Walker Bush, and he wrote for the court the following, quote, "Many Americans believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and most Americans live in states where that is the law today. One virtue of federalism is that it permits this diversity of governance based on local choice. But this applies as well to the states that have chosen to legalize same-sex marriage. Under current Supreme Court authority, Congress's denial of federal benefits to same-sex couples lawfully married in Massachusetts has not been adequately supported by any permissible federal interest," end quote. Well, now, clearly, Judge Bowden here is not saying that it is unconstitutional based on the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution, but he has opened the door now for the case to go to all those Catholics on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Joe Bacon. Thank you, Joe. And his message, Mike, some people think that the transit of Venus is going on. In reality, it's not Venus. It's Rupert Murdoch's corrupted soul floating over the sun. Well, if that's the case, Joe, let's hope that it just cinders right up, huh? Thanks, Joe. Thank you very much. This week, a spokesman for Republican Representative Nan Haworth of New York advocated for violence against women senators. Here's what happened. Representative Haworth's campaign participated in a Facebook discussion with her constituents. Her spokesman, one Jay Townsend, responded to criticism from a constituent by writing, "When is Tommy Boy going to weigh in on all the Lily Ledbetter hypocrites who claim to be fighting the war on women? Let's hurl some acid at those female Democratic senators who won't abide the mandates they want to impose on the private sector." Hurl some acid? WTF? Hurl acid? Oh my God! Hurl acid. Let's hurl some acid on the Democratic senator women. Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't, you know, what can I say? Can you imagine if a Democrat said that? It would be all over the place. Well, while you think about that, consider this. Scott Walker wins! With 22% of the vote in, Scott Walker has 61%. Tom Barrett has 38%. Hot damn! Boy, I'll tell you what, they showed those goddamn union people, didn't they? There you go. Scott Walker, the winner, retains the Wisconsin governor's seat. Hey, you folks in Wisconsin, God bless you. Really, you have set the stage. You are the leader for open rebellion in this country now. Yes, you have. Now, if anybody has any doubts anymore about massive civil disobedience being the only way to stop this fascist machine, well then, tell us what it is. Ah, 61% of the vote going to the great Scott Walker. Hallelujah! 39% going to that scummy little Barrett Democrat, right? 38% goes to Barrett. In the lieutenant governor's race, it's still too close to call, but the Republican incumbent, Rebecca Clefish, has 61%, and the Democratic challenger, Malin Mitchell, has 39%. Da, da, da. Well, there you go. America, especially in Wisconsin, Wisconsin is now the leading edge of the destruction of the middle class. Way to go, Wisconsin. The state that gave us Joe McCarthy has now given us Scott Walker. Now, wait till you hear how the Republicans respond to this. This just absolutely guarantees that Mitt Romney is going to be president, right? Huh? Absolutely. From Drew in Hammond, Louisiana, regarding the number two man in Al-Qaeda. Drew writes, "You can always kill the number two man in Al-Qaeda so long as there are two people in Al-Qaeda." Apparently, the military machine is really just allowing them to promote from within. Also, who in the hell is Al-Qaeda's number one guy? Well, his name is Zawahiri or something there, Drew. I'm guessing the government just knows that no one knows the answer to that question, so we certainly don't know who the number two guy is. I'm pretty sure that every time there's an explosion anywhere in the world, the number two man in Al-Qaeda gets killed. Well, there you go. If you are a member of the American working class, bend over, place your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye. As evidenced by those stalwart Wisconsinites, the cheeseheads, they let America know tonight where they stand. They stand on the side of destroying education within their state, destroying public unions within their state, cutting medical aid to poor people within their state. The people of Wisconsin have spoken. They don't need no stinking anything. They are fine with a fascist governor. If you want to comment on this, now's the time to jump in. 877-996-2556. We'll take your call after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Joint stretch. Being sponsored by Jim Cooksey. Thanks, Jim. His message, the members of the Boilermakers Union will not back anyone who attempts to take away our right to collectively bargain for our fair wages, pensions, and a voice in the workplace. These are not things that were just given to us. These things were paid for in blood, sweat, and sacrifice, and we will not give them up in solidarity. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate your message and your sponsorship. The retention of his governor seat by Scott Walker tonight or today is one of the fruits of the Citizens United ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court. Of course, you know that. Something like $60 million spent on this. 70% of the money spent by the Walker campaign came from outside Wisconsin. 70% of the money spent by Barrett came from inside Wisconsin. I mentioned last night that we are a culture in this country that has had a good 60 years of absolute brainwashing where it concerns television. Television commercials. Don't forget the early ad people, the early advertising, television advertising people studied the techniques used by Joseph Goebbels, studied the techniques used by the Nazis to convince the German people that their absolute enemy was the Jew, the other, the Roma, the gay person, and the techniques that were used to do that, to brainwash an entire population, were applied by so-called Madison Avenue, by the advertising agency. So the money spent by the Walker campaign that came as a result of Citizens United from these super PACs went into television advertising, total saturation. You give me enough money and I will sell you on the idea of cutting your own mother's throat. Just give me enough money, and I'll do it. So this, if Obama is defeated this November, this is what's going to do it. It's not the record. It's not his assassination hit squad. It's not his inability to get anything done with this Republican Congress, which is by design. That's not by accident. If he is defeated, it will not be because of something he did or didn't do. It'll be because the American people will be totally overwhelmed with hundreds of millions of dollars in advertising. And they will ram this down your throat until by the time it's over, you will be willing to cut your own mother's throat. You will be asking, where's mom? And show me the knife. So that's what Scott Walker's retaining his seat has proven. That the Citizens United decision, along with the decision of the Supreme Court to give the election in December 2000 to George W. Bush, those are the two death strokes to representative government in this country. It's over, folks. I mean, goddammit, I'm not going to sit here and mince words with you. It's over. It is over. It's finished. Anything that looks like democracy, small d, now, is an illusion. It's a joke. It's a lie. These two Supreme Court decisions have effectively ended permanently until or unless we, the people, change it. And I don't think we will. I don't think we have the gumption. I'm ready, but I don't think you are. Okay, you are, but I don't think those people down the street are. This system is now demonstrably non-salvageable. It's over. Do you? I mean, surely you get that. I know that you're not going to hear that on the commercial networks or what have you, because they have a vested interest in keeping this farce going. They are going to make hundreds of millions of dollars in commercial airtime. Hundreds of millions. Hell, it may exceed a billion. But it's gone. Now, not because this little turd, Scott Walker, got to keep his office, but because of how he got to keep his office and how George W. Bush became president the first time. I hope you get this. I really do. I hope this makes some kind of sense to you. But they can have all these little jokey discussion groups on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, wherever, with the roundtable discussions about, oh, what does this mean? Well, let's look at the tea leaves. Well, now, this is a great night for Obama because now it means, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is a great night for Mitt Romney because now it means, oh, please, for Christ's sake. Those two decisions stopped the vote counting on December 12th, 2000. And Citizens United. That's it. Put a fork in it. We're done. Susan is in Squim, Washington. Hello, Susan. Have you got some volume? There she is. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I agree with much of what you said, but I'm wondering, I mean, I know, I agree that, yes, we're done. Stick a fork in us. It's over. The democracy's been over for some time. But I'm still a little curious as to how it went down. In this particular instance, we have to assume one of two things. Either the people of Wisconsin can easily be swayed by billions of dollars worth of commercials, or the election was fixed.
When you have,
I don't like to assume that the people of Wisconsin are that stupid. I mean, I've been watching this thing. They were in the streets. They were a large majority of the people turned in those petitions. I don't see no matter how many billions the Koch brothers spent, I don't see them changing their minds. As a matter of fact, I saw them getting angrier the more money that went down.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but and I like to feel the same way. But when I start thinking that way, I just think to myself, come on, Mike, you're going to have to get your head out of the clouds. You're going to have to realize something. And I would say the same thing to you, Susan. I just said it. As a matter of fact, when you're on hold, we've had 60 years of being brainwashed by television advertising to the point where we can't make decisions anymore. We just simply can't.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. It's really hard. But the thing is, we know that these ads are swaying people, but I don't know anybody that admits to being swayed.
Well, no, you don't know anybody who admits to choosing one brand of ketchup over another because of television.
Have you ever listened to any of these ads? Have you ever been swayed to vote for somebody by any of these ads?
I haven't.
I don't watch television.
No, well, of course not. Of course not. But we're not concerned about you. We're not concerned about me. Everybody else in America does watch television. Everybody else is influenced, whether it is directly, indirectly, subliminally.
Then we deserve this. We deserve this fascist piece of crap we're living on.
Absolutely. I said last night, we gave it away. We gave it away when we stopped voting. We gave it away when we said it's raining, I'm not going to get in the car and drive to the polls.
But what if the vote, how if they fix the vote? Look what happened with that Supreme Court justice in that same state. You know that vote was fiddled with, and nobody ever did anything about it. There was proof that it was fiddled with, and nobody did anything about it. The justice is still sitting on the bench.
I rest my case.
Well, then it's both. It's the ads and the
fix. Well, yeah, but who gives a damn about a Wisconsin Supreme Court judge election? Nobody cares about that stuff.
Yeah.
If it was stolen, it was stolen fair and square, if you know what I mean. So what are you going to do? All right.
Well, we're going to go in the streets.
I'm right there with you, Susan. But so far,
I'll get 30 million more, Mike.
Yeah, well, that's two of us. All right, thanks, Susan.
Good
talking to you. We'll be back momentarily. Phone lines are open.
It's Mike Malone.
Past the hour. Michael and Roswell writes in, right now with 40% of the Wisconsin vote in, Walker has approximately 60-40 advantage, and the networks have already called it for him. Now, what's interesting about that is that if the vote spread remains constant, Barrett will get, with 100% of the vote in, 150,000 votes fewer than there were recall petition signatures. People will be thrashing around the reasons for that for some time to come. Right. It really does not matter. It doesn't. There's no reason for one to get one's bloomers in a wad about what happened in Wisconsin tonight. All it does is demonstrate clearly that the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court, and please understand that what the court was hearing was not did not involve whether or not corporations were people. It did not involve whether or not corporations have the right of making unlimited, unidentified contributions to a political candidate. The case before the Supreme Court in Citizens United was not about that. It was about whether or not television stations who turned down a video about Hillary Clinton, I guess, or whatever, during the 2008 presidential election, whether or not those stations acted constitutionally or unconstitutionally. The Supreme Court, the five neo-fascist judges on the Supreme Court, created something out of air and gave to the plaintiff, or gave to the petitioner in this particular case, something that the petitioner had no idea he was going to get. And that the business world had no idea they were going to get. And capitalism had no idea. Oh my God, when Citizens United decision was made and Capitalist America had 20 or 30 minutes to absorb it, and the phone lines lit up, and the attorneys were calling all the corporate CEOs saying, you're not going to goddamn believe what the U.S. Supreme Court just gave us. The whole friggin' country. It's ours. So what happened in Wisconsin tonight, Truth Seeker, is nothing more than a demonstration of that decision. And the fact that the United States Supreme Court, neo-fascist and conservative as it is and has been, on two occasions, December 12th, 2000, and whenever the Citizens United decision was handed down, in those two instances, the United States Supreme Court ended, I hope you get this, I hope you don't think, oh, what the hell is he talking about? Ended permanently representative government in this country. From this point on, Democrat or Republican, it does not make any difference. We'll only wind up as a senator, a representative, a president, if corporate America decides that person is to wind up as senator, representative, or president. Now, if you reject that, then I don't know what to tell you. Go smoke some more opium and stay in cloudland. Do whatever you have to do to deal with that. But that is what happened with Citizens United and the decision giving the presidential election in 2000 to Bush. No? You're holding out a little bit of hope? Huh? You think the Walker campaign stole hundreds of thousands of votes? Do you really? You think it was the machines? Okay. Well, even if it was, even if it was a machine, so what? That means nothing. The machines were lost to the neo-fascists years ago. If you're still counting, I mean, if you're still telling yourself, well, we would have won, but, or they stole them, or it was programmed a certain way, or let us see the proprietary programs that run the voting machines, you're just diddling yourself. You really are. You need to stop. You need to stop that. You need to stop relying on anything in this system as being real. Anything. And decide if you want to change it. It's that simple.
standing up to the flying monkey right. It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Jim Cooksey. His message, the members of the Boilermakers Union will not back anyone who attempts to take away our right to collectively bargain for our fair wages, pensions, and a voice in the workplace. These are not things that we were just given. These things were paid for in blood, sweat, and sacrifice, and we will not give them up in solidarity. Thanks, Jim. You might want to practice this over the next couple of days or a couple of weeks. Practice saying this. President Romney. President Romney. Now, you have to overcome the gag reflex. You have to overcome the thoughts that will just rush into your head like a cascade of fire. And those thoughts will say, "What in the hell are you talking about?" Say it. President Romney. President Romney. The determination, folks, has already been made. The determination was made at the first of the Republican candidates' circle jerks. The one where Rick Perry was still walking upright and Herman Cain was walking around as report after report of his sexual abuse showed up, and Rick Perry didn't know which end of a pencil you write with, and just on and on and on. Newt Gingrich puffing up his gut even more than it already puffed up from being with Callista, talking about how he's going to open up franchises on the moon or something. It was determined then that Mitt Romney is to be the next president of the United States. Now, as always, we all have the choice. We can just, you know, us Democrats or former Democrats, just get out there and, you know, send in your $20 and your $30 and stay on the mailing list and get out there and pound the pavement and put a yard sign out and hand out literature. Do it. Do it. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. If that makes you feel good, do it. Hell yes. But the capitalists who play this game now and who have been carefully setting up the rules ever since 1964 when Barry Goldwater was sliced and diced, the capitalists know what they're doing. Tonight, I know a lot of people are going to minimize what happened in Wisconsin. Well, it's Wisconsin. No, it wasn't. Wisconsin didn't. It wasn't Wisconsin money that kept Walker in office. God damn it, wake up! That's not what happened. This was a test case. This was very specifically a test case. And it wasn't like Schwarzenegger and Gray Davis. That was something entirely different. This was a test case. Can a man who gets elected, Scott Walker, so destroy the social safety net in Wisconsin, programs for Wisconsin's poor, Wisconsin's elderly, Wisconsin's uninsured? Can that same man gut the public worker unions? Can he destroy everything he touches? Can he lie? Can he get elected saying A and as soon as he's in office, say B? Can that man get elected and then when challenged, can he not only survive, but when the smoke clears, he'll probably wind up with a bigger margin of his win than when he got elected to begin with. Now, I don't know what it was when he first got elected. I wasn't following it. Frankly, I don't care. I don't care now. I really don't. Except But this election was a touchstone for capitalism owning the political system. Owning it. It's not yours any longer, truth seeker. Well, it has been for a long time, but I mean officially now. And it's not mine either. So tonight was a test case. Can that kind of a man be elected governor, turn around and smash the people of Wisconsin right in the face over and over and over again, be challenged, and not only survive, but have the people he's smashing, in a sense, reaffirm his election? Well, that's not in a sense, that's what it was, reaffirm his election. And if we can do that, we being the capitalists, by spending whatever it takes, 10 million, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, the money is immaterial. The money means nothing. It's funny money to begin with. So if we can spend that much money and get these media outlets, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, CNBC, get all these media outlets to take money to run these ads. If we can do that, we own it. Well, they did it. It's, the Republican Senate Majority Leader in Wisconsin also survived recall. Do you not understand this? I mean, come on. Now, if you really need, for some reason, I don't know, a lot of people take laxatives. Maybe working for the DNC and getting out there and pounding on doors or we're working for the RNC and pounding on doors and really thinking, well, I help Scott Walker retain his office. If you really need to do that, in the same way that you just think you need to take a laxative, when you really don't, all you have to do is eat a lot of prunes. But if you really think you need to do that, okay. But if you think in doing that, you are going to have any kind of an effect on the results of these, quote, elections, end quote, then you're a fool. I'm sorry. I know that pisses off people mightily. I'm a fool because I work for my candidate? Yes. Sorry. But you are. What if my candidate was Dennis Kucinich? Dennis who? So, get used to saying it. President Romney. Unless the capitalists decide to make the game even more interesting and eliminate his candidacy at some point. Maybe his wife will have a flare-up of one of her diseases and he has to get off the campaign trail. Maybe he'll decide he wants to spend more time with his family. Maybe whatever. And the capitalists will then replace him with a real Franco-style candidate. I don't think they're going to do that because they have what they want. In Mitt Romney, they have a man stupider than George Bush. And they also have a religious fanatic who will do what he's told. So, I mean, you make the decision, truth seeker. I mean, go ahead. You want to vote for? You want to go pound on doors? Do it. Absolutely. George is in Santa Fe. Hello, George.
Hi. Actually, this is George in Oregon.
Oregon. Hey, George.
Yeah. Last time I talked to you, Mike, I had to get past Ian.
My God!
Air America.
That was. Now wait a minute. That was. What was Shelley's company, Kathy? Nova M Radio.
Oh, is that Nova M?
That was after Air America. Yeah, well, long time no hear, George.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Susan in Squim has got it partially right. Either they stole it or it is over.
Well, I mean, you can steal close elections, but I don't think you can steal a 60-40. And even if you can steal a 60-40, that makes it even more over.
And you know what's really scary is, you know, the Nazis were elected. They didn't take over in a coup.
Well, sure they did. I mean, sure they were. Hey, hold on a second. I made you hold on all that time. Now I got to put you on hold for a second and do a break, and we'll come back and talk to George. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Jim Cooksey. His message: the members of the Boilermakers Union will not back anyone who attempts to take away our right to collectively bargain for our fair wages, pensions, and a voice in the workplace. These are not things that were just given to us. These things were paid for in blood, sweat, and sacrifice, and we will not give them up. In solidarity from Jim. Thanks, Jim. Back to George in Oregon.
Yep. Yeah, you know, you're a student of history. You know, they owned the media, and, you know, the Germans got Fox News 24/7, so.
Yep.
That's what happened.
Well, it is that, and also the fact that the Congress, because of their own self-interest, did not have the foresight to pass certain laws regarding commercial speech, not political speech, not to encroach on the First Amendment, but the First Amendment has been so bastardized, but to allow television advertising to define a candidate. And to influence people who may or may not choose to vote for that candidate is obscene and guarantees that the idea of democratically elected leaders to govern, that system is doomed. The only way to even make an attempt, this was 20 years ago, to restore the democratic process was to declare for once and for all that television advertising for political candidacy is off the table. That it's a form of not political speech, but commercial speech, because they're trying to sell you something. And of course, it'd be challenged and blah blah blah. But you know, after 60 years of refining the methods in which we are all sold stuff, whether we need it or not, the people who make these political commercials know exactly how to reach inside and grab somebody at their weakest spot and scare the Christ out of them to the point where they'll go ahead and vote for the Nazi.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Very simple.
Too many of our fellow citizens believe what they see on the TV, you know. It's pretty sad.
It is. George, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. I hope you'll call back more frequently than once every 5 years. Thanks, George. This is a little piece of breaking news. The Canadian Coast Guard was put on alert tonight, preparing for what it fears could be a massive invasion of boat people from Wisconsin. Connor McGlinden, commander of the Royal Canadian Mounted Coast Guard, said that satellite photos had revealed a substantial flotilla, his words, in the making, as Wisconsinites prepared to flee their state for their neighbor to the north. McGlinden said, quote, word has gotten around that we have policemen, firemen, and basic school lunches up here. You can't blame these boat people for seeking a better life, but we are under orders to intercept them. End quote. In Canada, officials fear that refugees from Wisconsin will brave the treacherous journey across Lake Superior in the hopes of giving birth to so-called anchor babies on Canadian soil. Mr. McGlinden offered reporters a look at satellite photos showing that boat people larding their vessels with wheels of premium cheddar cheese, possibly in the hopes of bribing Canadian officials on Lake Superior's northern shore. McGlinden said, quote, we are telling all of our men that under no circumstances should they accept offerings of cheese. These boat people are desperate and they will try anything, end quote. Reports of the looming refugee crisis coincided with the release of a new poll showing that Governor Scott Walker is now the most hated man in Wisconsin, narrowly edging Brett Favre. Speaking at the state capitol, Governor Walker seemed philosophical about his legacy. I'm not worried how history will remember me, because if I have my way, there won't be any history teachers. End quote. Oh, it's from the Borowitz Report. I see. Andy Borowitz, the Borowitz Report. You ought to check it out. Open letter from Kevin Scott to the DNC. Dear sirs and or madams, please remove my name from the rolls of registered Democratic voters as I am changing my affiliation to the Occupy Party. The recall election in Wisconsin was the last straw for me. The president made a calculated decision not to go to Wisconsin and campaign for Mayor Barrett, since this is one of the biggest reasons, in my opinion, for the loss of Mayor Barrett and the recall effort. Also, the comments of former President Clinton this past week criticizing President Obama and supporting the work of Mitt Romney were particularly onerous to me. I feel the actions of both Presidents Obama and Clinton have taken a disastrous toll on the morale of the average working-class Democrat and have more than proven to me that the National Democratic Party has very little regard for the average working-class person and the interests of the 1% and their contributions to their campaigns more at heart than what the average Democrat thinks and wants. I will continue to contribute my time to the local Democratic Party and their efforts, for I find the local party to be much more in tune with what the 99% have been saying. I can't, however, no longer in good conscience remain a member of the Democratic Party after watching the lack of effort and support they've given to the recall effort. My goal now is to support the Occupy effort and the wishes of the 99% without being encumbered by having the title or the little D after my name. I guess you could say that I am now a member of the Occupy Party in large part because President Obama and the DNC abandoned the 99% long ago. Sincerely, Kevin Scott. Well, there you go. There you go. All right, phone lines are open. You going to call tonight or what do you want to do here? 877-996-2556. I get all these complaints. You don't take any phone calls. Well, okay, come on. 877-996-2556. Stay with us. 7 past the hour. Interestingly, Tom Barrett, who is challenging Scott Walker, with about 76-78% of the vote counted now, Mr. Barrett hasn't gotten the number of people to sign petitions to make this happen. I think there were over 900,000 signatures on the petitions. So far, his vote total is about 760,000. I mean, you can read it any way you want to. I don't care. Scott Walker has 858,786 votes. And that's with 78% of the precincts reporting. A couple emails, then to your phone calls, from Michael in Roswell. Remember what Adlai Stevenson said in 1956, that television would utterly transform American politics. As prescient as that statement was, he still didn't foresee the half of it. I didn't know Stevenson had said that, but all I remember really about Adlai Stevenson was the hole in the sole of his shoe that wound up in a photograph that I think was on the cover of either Life or Time. Remember that? From Captain Mary in Memphis, Tennessee. Four random observations from Captain Mary. Number one, Justice Stevens says that the Citizens United ruling will fall apart because it lets foreign entities buy our elections, as opposed to the good old American way, by which only rich American entities, quote, quote, could buy our elections. Number two, this fall, over 100,000 public school kids, age 4 to 12, will attend weekly Bible study courses at the Good News Club, sponsored by the Child Evangelism Fellowship. Over 3,200 such clubs are now in elementary schools, up more than sevenfold since 2001. Yeah, we talked about this the other night, Captain Mary. One of the emphasized teachings is from 1 Samuel, when the cranky Skybeard tells Saul to kill all the Amalekites. Yeah, we talked about that too. Kill them all. Number three, and in Pennsylvania, Steve Smith was elected by a single write-in vote, his own, to be a Republican committeeman in Luzerne County. The beauty of this is that there's no Republican mechanism that can remove him. His stated aim is to help Republicans win elections. And ready? He's a former member of the Keystone State Skinheads, and he founded the European American Action Coalition. See how that happens? And number four, there are already reports of election fraud, robocalls telling people they didn't need to vote if they'd signed the recall petition. This is either on Alternet or MSN, but I ain't looking for it now. Yeah, it's also on Network News, Cap Mary. Thank you. Thank you for the information. We appreciate it. Yeah, we did that about, the school kids, 100,000 public school kids will get these, Bible study courses in the after school programs. I think we did that on church night. You know, to me, the horror of all this is watching it happen. Just watching it happen. Granted, it's not as fast as the Enabling Act allowed the Nazis to take over Germany, but it's still happening. It is just relentless. Just relentless. The religious and political right under the absolute ownership of the capitalist neo-fascists who run this country, just absolutely, slowly but surely devouring the country. Our system, our political system, our educational system, our social safety net, just slowly taking it to pieces, one bite at a time. And there just doesn't seem to be any political mechanism left to stop it. And in fact, there isn't. And unless somebody's going to advocate violence, which you won't hear on this program, although Jefferson advocated it, unless someone's going to advocate violence, what's left? Massive civil disobedience. But apparently we are too afraid to do that. We're too afraid to walk out into the main intersections of our cities, millions of us, and just sit down and say, no, it's just simply not going any further. No, we're not going to do it. And, of course, no, we're not going to do that. We're not. The horror of all this to me is just watching this slow devouring of our system. And it's just relentless. It just doesn't stop. And there is no one to stop it. And no one can stop it. It's going to take a collective effort of millions of people exercising, if that's still possible, their constitutional right to peaceful assembly and bring everything to a stop. But I have as much hope for that as I do for snow in July. It's just not there. The will to do this is not there. And I don't get it. I don't understand this. If this was beanbag we were playing, okay. But this is not beanbag. This is some real important stuff that's going on. We're just letting it all go away. And there are such critical issues that have to be addressed by a viable, living, people-oriented political system. We have some enormous issues that are just being shuffled aside while the capitalists laugh at it. Laugh at us. Enormous issues that should be addressed. Issues that are just getting worse and worse and worse. I don't understand. I don't understand. Don't get it. If you wanted some interesting reading on what has happened tonight, go to my friend Brad Friedman's website, bradblog.com. Catfish Blues sent this to me a few minutes ago from Brad's front page. Quote, remarkable reported turnout, students being turned away due to residency issues, voters turned away illegally for lack of photo ID, ballots and same-day registration forms running out with nearly 100% turnout in some areas, other problems and concerns about computer tally systems. It's all at bradblog.com. So you might want to check Brad's website. All right. Back to phone calls here. Nani is in St. Paul listening on KTNF.
Hey, Mike. Thank you.
Sure.
I want to just tell you how much I really love your fire and your emotional self and your willingness to maintain that. It's really inspirational.
Well, thanks.
I'm so tired of all the lack of gut and heart that's coming at us every single day.
I hear that. Hey, Nani, let me put you on hold for 1 second. I've got to do some commercials here. We've got to do a break and let the local stations do their commercials, too. We'll come right back, Nani. I promise. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
With your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win.
voice inside your head. It's Mike Malone.
Past the hour. Back to Nani in, wait a minute. There's Nani in St. Paul listening on KTNF. All right, Nani.
Hey, thanks for getting back to me. Well, first of all, I want to tell you how bad it is up here in the North Country. I had to go to the doctor today to get a wood tick taken out of my ear.
Oh, my God.
So, things are serious. But I want to let you know that I was part of a group of kind of self-appointed nerds who monitored the elections during the last few campaigns. And we watched computer returns from the state of Minnesota and Wisconsin flip and flip and flip and flip. We tried to bring the information that we gathered to the DFL here in Minnesota. We have the Democratic Farmer Labor Party.
Right.
And, you know, we think we're pretty radical or up here, except, or at least pretty progressive. We could not get anyone to acknowledge what we were showing them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this year, we had many, many Democrats who just simply did not want to acknowledge how serious all of this is. Their position was, well, if we support a recall, they're just going to come after us next time.
Right.
I just think the thing that we really need to do is have a serious analysis of what's going on. We haven't done it. I don't know if you remember, but in the old days, we used to sit down and really analyze what was going on politically in this country, and I've not been part of any group that's done that. And I'm telling you, I'm old. I'm not young.
Well, I think maybe one of the reasons, Nani, that doesn't happen anymore is because I think on a gut level, on a real visceral level, I think most people who still retain logic and common sense and the ability to think and an appreciation of our system, those people understand that there's no reason for postmortems anymore because the system has been so taken over and owned outright by capitalist America. We can sit around and drink a glass of wine or smoke a joint or have a cup of tea and just talk and talk and talk about this kind of stuff. And like we used to do back in the day, and back then, after you had those all-night sessions, you'd go out, you'd find a candidate, you'd try to get him or her elected to city council or county commission or the public service commission or whatever, and you were kind of effective. But once it got beyond that level, even back in the 70s, it became almost impossible. Not impossible, but almost impossible. You really had to work your butt off to get people elected to public office. And then all of a sudden, people just gave it up. So I think maybe on a real base level, people understand, we've lost it. The system that we thought we had, the one that, we still teach our kids about in school, it is gone. And it's going to get even more gone as the days go on here, because power does not relinquish itself. And as these capitalist pigs understand what they have accomplished with the ruling of the Supreme Court, Citizens United, and stopping the vote count in 2000, they're fully realizing that the billionaires now own everything, and there's nothing that activists can do about it except to make the machine come to a halt. That's the only option. That's the only option. The only option we have left.
Yep, I agree with you. But, I think people need to know that they're participating in a strategy, a strategic, full-out strategy before they're going to be willing to go down and face the mace and the crap in their eyes and the jails and everything else.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, thanks for all you do.
All right, Nani, thanks for checking in, and stay in touch, okay?
Good night.
All right, talk later. Got an email from Kay Petrini, our education affairs correspondent. I'll share with you when we come back after the break. But it has to do with, you know, something that Kathy and I have to deal with our 8-year-old. It hasn't come up yet, but I would imagine in third grade it will come up. About it depends. She goes to a public school, but it's a damn good one. It is a top rated public school, and we're both anticipating what she is going to be taught when the teaching of American civics, American history and government, begins. So Kay's letter kind of addresses that, and I'm sure it's something that people who have kids in the primary grades or elementary school also have to think about. We'll talk about that in a second when we come back. Stay with us and your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's Mike Malloy.
It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real.
25 before the hour. So Scott Walker was giving his victory speech, and of course he started out by saying, "First, I'd like to thank God for his abundant grace." And of course the crowd went wild. So there you go. God had a hand in this. God took some time off from all the starving children and the dying people and the this and the that, and reached down and took a hold of Scott Walker's ass and just kind of shuffled him through this process of retaining his seat in government. Isn't that nice? I'm sure Scott and his family will get down on their knees tonight and thank God privately for his abundant grace. Kate Petrini writes, "Time to think about changing careers. Hi, Mike. For a number of reasons that I won't go into right now, I've been wondering about my chosen career lately. The Scott Walker victory in Wisconsin tonight is simply one more nail in the coffin. Would someone please explain to me how I am supposed to continue to teach American democracy when, thanks to Citizens United and the corporate takeover of our government, it absolutely, positively no longer exists? Thank goodness summer vacation has started, because I honestly don't see how I could walk into my classroom and teach students about the importance of their participation in the system after tonight's vote. And to think that just a couple of weeks ago, I was thrilled that I was able to get every single one of my graduating seniors to register to vote, as if that matters at all anymore." Okay. Yeah, I don't know. We're concerned, our daughter, our 8-year-old, my adult children are very, very hip to what's going on and understand it fully. I don't have any political conflicts with my adult children. There's no, "Well, Dad was a liberal, let's be a conservative." You know, there's none of that. And if they chose to do it, they could. These are, you know, these are fully formed and adults and parents and have their careers and so on and so forth, but they understand it. As far as Molly is concerned, we are going to do with her exactly what we've done with her where it concerns religious bigotry, nonsense, and superstition. We have told her regarding that some people believe this stuff, and you have to not criticize them for their beliefs. I said when you run into her, Kathy and I both have told her, when you run into children who ask you if you've been saved, all you have to say is, "You know, I really don't. My family and I, we don't believe all that stuff. And then just drop it. And usually an 8-year-old doesn't have a follow-up. If they do, it's something like, you're going to burn in hell. And we've explained to Molly that hell is the figment of the imagination of people who are very, very, very caught up in a superstitious belief system, and to just leave it be. Well, so far, and Molly went to a Presbyterian preschool for, what, 3 years? 3 school terms, right? Molly was the announcing angel in the Christmas pageant when she was in kindergarten. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, for unto you is, you know, that role. And she thought it was great, in much the same way that if she had a role in a Greek play and played the part of Persephone or Mercury. Is he Greek? No, he's Roman. She understood it. You know, this is a play. This is a mythology. This is a story. And because of that, you know, she can have a great time at Christmas with, of course, we've kind of switched it now to, you know, everything that you see about Christmas was taken from the Celtic belief system. It was stolen by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church steals everything, and they stole every single symbol of Christmas. So what you're celebrating, what we're celebrating, Molly, with the holly and the tree and the lights and the gift giving and the feasting and having people over for a party, what you're celebrating is ancient Celtic Northern European tradition. It has nothing to do with the birth of any God person or blah, 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 savior and all that kind of crap. Now, the same thing applies where it concerns civics and government. As Molly starts to be exposed in the public schools, I have no idea how her particular school will start to teach this. As far as I know, of course, she only just completed second grade, but as far as I know, they haven't gotten into civics and government yet. But when they do, what we will teach her is that this is the system. These are the questions. This is the curriculum that you're learning in school. But we want you to understand something. What they are teaching you is history. Because the system doesn't work that way any longer. So when they tell you that, you know, your vote matters, Molly, it doesn't matter anymore. That's history. It mattered at a certain time in this country's history. And we'll, at the same time, we will explain to her that people of her gender couldn't even vote until 1920. We will explain to her that African-American people in this country could vote, but only if they were willing to risk their life. I mean, you know, you understand what I'm saying. So I'm not too concerned about it. However, I do understand Kay Petrini's dilemma. How, if you're a teacher and you are commissioned to teach American government and civics, they used to call it when I was in school, in high school, American history and government, how the system works. How do you do that? How do you stand in front of a class unless you fully identify what you're teaching is history? This is the way it was laid out. This is the way at one time, a very brief time, it was practiced. But it's not that way any longer. So I understand what Kate Petrini is saying. Now, about changing careers. Now, the problem, of course, this leaves parents like Kathy and me, is how to make sure that our kid, your grandkid, whatever, has a clear path of understanding so that he or she understands that, you know, you don't want your kid to wind up schizophrenic or trying to hold two concepts in her head at the same time, what's real and what's not real. But this is where, I hate this term, proactive parenting comes in. You have to, if you have children or grandchildren, and you're rational. I'm not talking about you religious nuts or you right wing freaks. I'm talking about rational people. You have to counteract. Just like you have to counteract a lot. I mean, what kids pick up in popular culture now. You know, Molly has been told very explicitly that these little, what are those little motions that they do, expressions that she picks up from her classmates, and they originally, some of them, they get it from television. And we tell her, no, you're not going to stand there and thrust your hip out and give us that look. You're not going to do it. So you really do have to be totally proactive, especially where it concerns our system of government. These kids have got to understand what they're dealing with. And what their parents are doing, what the adults are dealing with. Without, you know, freaking them out. And you can do it without freaking them out. Just like you can tell a child, as I've done now with two of my kids, one who's now 34 and Molly who's 8, that religious nonsense is just that. Religious nonsense. It didn't wind up, oh, I'm going to burn in hell. No. It didn't wind up leaving them feeling totally unprotected by some sky spook. What it did with the 34-year-old was left him in tremendous mental health, and so far so good with Molly. Because they don't fear things that this crappy-ass religious nonsense teaches you to fear and hate and be bigoted against and about. Okay. That's all. I just wanted to get that said. And I did. Tom is in Bradenton, Florida. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm just, I was telling Kat, well, they can kind of flip me out talking about Molly there, because you know she's a bright girl. But I called to talk about Scott Walker a little bit.
Sure.
I'm feeling really weird tonight. I haven't felt this way in a long time. Kind of a, maybe it's before I'm going to have a heart attack or something, I don't know, but it's I guess it's a big feeling of disappointment. I was listening to all the progressive talkers today, and they were kind of, maybe they pumped it up too much, but you know, they were probably like, well, it's going to be very close, but mm-hmm. They were saying that the turnout was tremendous. So, and you were giving me the number, all of us the numbers before. Something's not right. I don't know what's wrong, but I just know that something's not right. I think the problem is right now.
Mm-hmm. Tom, hold on a second. Let me put you on hold. I got to do some commercials. We'll come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Talking to Tom in Bradenton, Florida. Go ahead, Tom. Thanks for holding on.
Oh, no problem. I guess why I'm hurting in my gut right now is, I guess this, to me, was a little bit of a microcosm of Citizens United.
Speak up just a little bit, Tom. We're losing you.
A little bit of a microcosm of Citizens United proving that it can work, even though it's a totally stupid. It's funny. I'm an abstract artist, Mike. I can't even get the concept of people or corporations. Corporations are people. I mean, they have just got everything so twisted, but I want to stay on point. I just want to ask your opinion. Why did 60% of people in Wisconsin, if they had such a good turnout, vote this idiot to stay in?
I think there are a lot of reasons, Tom. First of all, most people in this country are totally politically unaware. Number two, the sickness of the Christian religion is heavily overlaying everything this go-around. Third, and this may be number one, actually, the tens of millions of dollars that were spent to sell Scott Walker as a leader, as a governor, and the commercials that were put together, the money that came from outside the state, and I know that sounds like a cliche, but when you have 70% of the money spent by Scott Walker coming from outside Wisconsin, and 70% of the money spent by Barrett, the Democrat, and he only spent 1/7 as much as Scott Walker, and 70% of his money came from inside the state, it's a clear indication that the system is fatally broken. It no longer is a system. This is not an election. This was a sale. This was not an election. This was not a campaign. This was a political campaign. It was an advertising campaign. And what happened today in Wisconsin was a sale. It wasn't an election. The governor's office was up for sale, and as in most sales, whoever bids the highest winds up with the product. And that's exactly what happened. Tom, I got to leave it there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Jamie in Baltimore wrote in, Mike, no doubt in the end this probably won't matter, but John Nichols of The Nation is reporting that the votes in the heavily Democratic and union regions of Wisconsin haven't been even been added to the count yet. But there's Tom Barrett saying that he already called Walker to congratulate him on his, quote, big win, end quote. In the end, the only way Walker might be removed early is because of criminal activity. I wish you were wrong about the big picture, the bigger picture, but of course your analysis is spot on. We have to start over. But what will it take to wake up the 99% of us who are literally asleep at the wheel? I know this is a seemingly rhetorical question that you've been asking for years. December 12th, 2000 is the, quote, date of infamy, end quote, for my generation. The most likely next one, November 6, 2012. I feel sick tonight, Mike. I know we have to pick ourselves up to press on and fight the good fight, but I'm just flat out sickened. Oh, and Obama's big support of Barrett yesterday came in the form of a tweet, an effing tweet. Jamie in Baltimore. Yeah, right, Jamie. Yeah. No, I say opt out of the political system entirely and start redirecting our effort where there will be an effect, and that is massive coordinated civil disobedience. Massive coordinated civil disobedience. Peaceful demonstrations on a scale that this country's never seen. On the other hand, when you have a nation that was put together on theft, murder, genocide, and slavery, maybe the chickens, as Stokely Carmichael, said, are finally coming home to roost in this country. Or was it H. Rapp Brown? I think it was Stokely Carmichael. So that may be the case, too. If that is the case, then chin up. Stiff upper lip, and figure out a way to survive through this madness, because this country was founded on lies, murder, bloodshed, theft, racism, slavery. I mean, that's how we came. You know, that's a good one, too. Trying to teach your kid the truth about that. Now, I mentioned that to you a month or two ago. We went to Savannah. And Molly's looking at the statues in the various squares and asking about Oglethorpe and people like that. And, Daddy, what does it mean when it says, you know, they established a colony? You know, there were other people living here, right? That was interesting, explaining to Molly sitting there in those Spanish moss-draped squares. And if you've been to Savannah, you know what I'm talking about. And trying to do this as gently as possible about how the white people from England came to this country, and there were already people here. They were doing just fine, thank you. And it's painful. It's painful to do this, but I will be goddamned if I'm going to have one of my children raised on lies. It will not happen. So, I don't know what your philosophy is about telling your kid or your grandkid or your niece or your nephew the truth, but I know what my take is, and my wife's take is to tell our daughter, in much the same way I did as a single parent with my son, the truth. The truth. All right. I am totally finished for tonight's program. Thanks a lot for hanging out. And we'll talk again tomorrow night. I'm sure the postmortems on what happened in Wisconsin tonight will be abundant and thick and filled with all the nonsense that tries to make people believe that we still have a viable political system. Don't believe it, unless you want to. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Tuned.